you were up till... How many of you went to sleep before midnight? You guys are... Okay. 11:50. I went to sleep. Okay, how many of you are up till 1? At least 1. 2 o'clock. Anybody up till 2? Anybody, like, because of the sirens and the shotguns, you were up till 3 or 4? Most of you. Okay. Yeah, that... I was in bed, and I was trying to stay awake. I was reading, and I'm like, forget it. So I went to sleep. Anyway, welcome to Adventure Church. Glad you guys decided to join us this morning. I have a few announcements for you before we kick into our message and about the Word of God. And very excited about it. But what I want to tell you about that first is... we have a Bible read-through challenge. Adventure is taking a year of reading through the Bible together, a year focused on the Bible. 2012 is a chronological read-through. We have it on our website. You can download... let me give you all the bullet points under here. You can download AdventureCommunityChurch.com, the chronological list. I have hard copies on the soundboard you can take home of from January through May. And reading through the Bible chronologically is different. I mean, you read Genesis 1 through 12, and then you read Job, because that's when Job was written. And then you go back and read more of Genesis and on and on. So the list of what to read, what days, is back there and online. Also, we have a couple of different teams. We have the Alpha Team, or the Alpha Company, which I like to say is more military, or Bravo Company. Alpha Company is reading through chronologically. If you register at Adventure Community Church on our website, you'll participate in the celebration ceremony at the end of the year if you complete it. Bravo Company, a little bit more challenging. You also memorize 52 passages of Scripture that are specifically about warfare, spiritual warfare, and taking back ground. The series we're in right now is called Storming the Gates, because we're storming the gates of hell. Our mission is to take back territory from Satan. We are the thieves binding the strong man and taking back his territory for God. And so every week there's a passage of Scripture, and today's passage is Isaiah 49:24-25. It's the first verse on the list, and it goes, "Can plunder be taken from warriors, or captives rescued from the fierce?" But this is what the Lord says: yes, captives will be taken from warriors, plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. Isn't that a cool passage? I will contend with those who contend with you. I was praying this morning, just my own quiet time, and I was praying that, Lord, I feel some oppression, I feel some attack on my identity. Will you contend with them and shut them down and send the enemy away? And I felt this, just the Lord took it away. Just fought for me. I will contend with those. That's his heart toward you. He wants to fight for you, and he wants to teach you to fight. So, Bravo Company, you have to register online if you want to do that. Make sure you register today. By the way, I'm too old to memorize anything. I've made that decision. I'm too old. I did that when I was in high school and college, but now I'm too old. I can't retain anymore. And because those brain cells are long gone, especially after last night. I'm kidding. What I found true is my daughter Abby and I were driving down to Portland for Christmas together, because we had to take two vehicles, and we're in the car, and we had the verses, and we were trying to get a head start. And we got through, by the time we drove down, we spent an hour on the way down and an hour on the way back, we got 8 weeks done in 2 hours together. 8 weeks of verses where we can both say them to each other. Cold, you're not too old. If I don't make that agreement, that's from the enemy, okay? This is the Word of God, and God will enable you to memorize it. And so, okay, Bible read-through. Make sure you sign up online. That starts today. Also, we have been doing a refinance the church campaign to lower our payment from $5,000 a month to about $3,000 a month. And our goal was we had to bring in at least as much money as we brought in last year, and we achieved it. We did it. In fact, we went past it. Would you care to know how much? What's our guess? 10,000? 10,000. Anybody have more faith than Isla? I'm kidding. We passed by 24-5. Passed last year's. Well done. Well done. So now the prayer is, please pray for Union Bank, who Brian Hillebush, represented Venture, is trying to get that refinance through. So that was the first requirement, and so be praying that we are able to get that refinance done. And then also community groups. You're not going to feel connected at Adventure because you come to church on Sunday morning. You're not going to feel like you're part of a community because you come to church on Sunday morning. It's a pseudo connection you have with a guy up front that's talking to you and a few conversations, but it's not real relationship. If you want real relationship, you need to get involved and you need to have a consistent time with people. And so we have 17, 18 community groups. I can't remember if it's 17 or 18. Community groups are ready to launch. They're going to launch in a couple of weeks. And sign-ups go on the website on adventurecommunitychurch.com tomorrow for you to join groups. There's activity groups, just groups that are having fun to connect. There's growth groups, and there's mission groups. So depending on where you're at, if you want to be challenged and grow, that's growth groups are for you. If you want to do a mission, go to Ethiopia, go somewhere around the world and do mission, those groups are available, and community groups, things like dirt bike riding, things like that, those are available as well. So you need to make sure you go on. It opens tomorrow. And next week, we're going to have group leaders here to share, and if you're a group leader, this is news to you, to share about your group. And so we're going to have all the group leaders come up again. And then the last thing is, we want to grow as a church. We know we're hitting the mission that God has called us to do, but we want to know from you, how is that going and how can we do it more effectively? We have a questionnaire online that we just need all eyes on this mission. And so we'd love to hear from you. What's going well? What would you say, man, you guys are, you know, this is, as a church family, we're nailing this one. Here's some areas that we see that we could grow in. There's a place for you to give us that information online. We'd love to see 100% participation. You know, most churches that do this get 20%. Would you please blow the doors off that statistic and go online, adventurecommunitychurch.com, and click on the questionnaire and give us your feedback. And with that, I just want to pray us in. This morning we've got a fantastic message that that Jonathan's going to bring. But I want to just begin, before we dive into that, with, I don't know if you've had a chance to do this yet, but give the year to Jesus. Have you given 2012 to Jesus? And have you given yourself to Jesus for 2012? And if you haven't and you want to do that, I'm going to pray that in the first person. And if you want to pray that with me, just echo those things. I'll pray it slow. But I just invite you to pray that with me now, okay? So let's just take a moment of silence with that. Lord, your intentions toward me are wonderful. Far better than I understand or let in. But I want to let those in now, Lord, that you love me, that your heart is tender toward me, that your blood is enough, and I am actually clean before you, and all sin is washed. I receive that. And Lord, I receive too that I'm one with you in your resurrection, and so I'm a new person because of your including me in your resurrection. And I take my place in that. I'm chosen by you, adopted, beloved. Lord, I'm yours. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, I also receive that I'm one with you in your ascension and given authority to join you in our stand against the enemy and to take ground from him. And so, Lord, this year, I want to give myself back to you. Lord, I want to declare this 2012 to be a holy year unto God. This year is given over to you. I give you my mind, my thoughts. Lord, I want my thoughts to center around you this year. I want them to go deeper about you. Lord, I give you my obedience.
to your leadership this year. I want to obey you. I want to go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do, say what you want me to say. I give my obedience over to you and my allegiance, Jesus, to your mission. In 2012, I am yours, and the year is yours. I give purity, my purity to you, Lord. I want this to be a year of purity, a year of walking with you. I give the year to you, Lord, to walk with you. I want this year to be different from any year in the past. Lord, I want to walk with you more faithfully and more closely this year. And so I commit that to you, Lord. I want to walk with you. And Lord, I want to step into my true identity this year and follow you into it and your mission for me. And so, Lord, I walk away from every area of my life that has been in disobedience. I walk away and I renounce every area of my life that's been in sin. I walk away from and renounce every area of my life that's dwelt in passivity. And I choose to be like you this year, Jesus, and to commit my life to walking in diligence, faithfulness, to be active in following and serving you and listening to your spirit. And so, Lord, I give myself back to you this year, and I give you 2012 as a year holy to you. And Jesus, we give the rest of the service to you. Lord, our hearts and our ears as we listen to what you've put on Jonathan's heart, Lord, we want to learn. So Jesus, come. Walk in, fill this place, shut down every foul thing of resistance. Lord, would you break the thief's stronghold in any life that's given a stronghold to the thief? We command it to leave. All distraction, fog, cloud, anything that the enemy try to bring to steal, we forbid it now. We bring this place under the kingdom authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call forth this kingdom. We speak it out now. Lord, we bind it on earth, you bind it in the heavenlies. This place, this time, these brain cycles belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so, Lord, we want to diligently listen to what you have to say this morning. Come, Lord, take us in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Randy. Good morning. Oh, it's so good to see bright faces. If you have been around our adventure of the last couple of weeks, we have been going through a new series. And the topic is hearing God. I have been in ministry for many, many years, and probably this is the most important thing any believer, any follower of Jesus Christ can learn. This is game changer. This will change everything. To be able to hear God and to have a conversational, personal relationship with God. Randy has been talking about how to hear God, and he mentioned one of the ways that God speaks to us is through scriptures, the Bible. And so this morning I want to share with you some of my experience of hearing God through scripture. Last year, about a year ago, my wife and I were contacted by Campus Crusade for Christ in Ethiopia. And that conversation kind of brewed and developed. And this last year, 2011, already last year, summertime, we were able to meet the national director of Ethiopia Campus Crusade. And there was a request from them to help them train young people in Ethiopia. And so this new mission started to take place. And four individuals, independent of each other, praying on my behalf, came up to me and said, "Jonathan, this is your new mission. I feel like the Lord said this is yours to own, to run with." And I was thrilled. And some of you who know me and Kim, you've realize that my mind has been on Ethiopia for the last several months. But there were moments of just total insecurity. As many years as I have been in ministry and doing all sorts of things, to think about to take on an entire nation, to try to help them and help their churches, there are moments of doubts and insecurity and fear. And there was a time when last year when I was actually really struggling. I was hearing these voices that says, "Who do you think you are? You're just kidding yourself. Nothing is going to happen. It's going to just fizzle out." I was so afraid, and I was writing in journal, and then I felt like the Lord said to this situation, He said this, "Do not lose sight of your vision and mission." And then He said a few other things, and then He said this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Does that sound familiar to some of you? Yes. That's straight out from Scripture. I wasn't thinking about it, but this Scripture came up to me. And so then I was, you know, looking for the passage. I think it was in the New Testament somewhere. I didn't remember what it was. And I found it in the Gospel of John. And I read it again, and then read it again, and read it again. God spoke to my heart with such power and comfort and grace through these words. And it was so true in my personal situation. I wasn't looking for mission field. I was quite happy being here at, you know, Duval, at Adventure. I'm Japanese. If anything, I would go to East Asia. Africa, it's the song from the 80s. "Please don't send me to Africa." That was the last thing on my... It wasn't even on my radar. And then I get this call, email, and then now I'm this deep in Ethiopia and their people. And Jesus said, God said, "No, you didn't choose me. I chose you." And then the next word, "I appointed you." It wasn't like, "Okay, you go. I don't know how you're going to go. Just go." No, "I appointed you. I have a plan for you." You see that? The Word of God, the passages from Scripture, spoke to my heart so powerfully, comforting me, encouraging me, telling me that, no, this is not so much about you as about my mission. I have my people in Ethiopia that need something that this church, Adventure, has to offer. And I'm using you, I'm inviting you to join my Adventure. And join my mission. God speaks to us through Scripture. More recently, just actually, this was just this last week. Once again, you know. Oh, by the way, so what's happening now is that in February, just in a month, we're going back to Ethiopia. This time, I'm with a team of youth ministry leaders here at Adventure. BJ and Seth, Beth, Kirsten, Lydia, and me, six of us, are going back to Ethiopia in order to train Campus Crusade's college students in the very thing that we're talking about, how to hear God, to understand that we are in a world at war, who God really is, who we are really meant to be. All of those things we will be training Ethiopian college students. And we're going to go there for about 10 days. And I felt like I wasn't quite ready. And so I was kind of panicking and I was praying and journaling. And then, you know, I was thinking, oh, I got to have faith. I got to have faith. And then I just thought of, oh, yeah, there's a passage somewhere that says, righteous shall live by faith. Some of you know that passage, right? The righteous live by faith. But I didn't remember where it was. But thanks to my smartphone, I looked it up. And it was there in Hebrews 10:38. It says, but my righteous one shall live by faith. But then the next sentence kind of hit me. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. My heart sank. If you shrink back, he, the Lord, takes no pleasure in me. Man, I felt really low. But then I started to kind of, you know, ask God's forgiveness. And, Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah, I've been doubting your goodness. You're the one who has brought me to this place with regard to Ethiopia. It is you who said that I'm supposed to go back in February. You know, I want to believe. I want to believe. And I was in this passage, Hebrews 10:38, and then just my eyes went to the next portion of it. And this is what it says, following. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their soul. It was like a breath of life spoken back to me. Just as I had prayed, Lord, please, you know, help me believe. Help me trust in you. And my eyes went to the next passage. As if the Lord said, no, you are not the one who shrinks back. But you're of those kind who have faith and preserve your souls. Scriptures in 2 Timothy says that all scriptures are God breathed. In this, at that point, as if the Word of God spoke to me and breathed life back into my heart. See, God speaks through the scriptures. So, what we want to know is we want to get ourselves familiar with the scripture. So hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. Now it's interesting, last night some of us gathered together for New Year's Eve party, and some people mentioned that it's so important to actually voice, to speak out the truth. And that's why it's so important to hear God's Word. And to be honest, I'm not so much talking about a message like right now, but the actual Word of God, actual Scripture. Read it out loud or hear it. Some of you are more familiar or comfortable with the audio book. Excellent. Hear the Word of God. But also it's important to speak out, voice the Word of God. And so hear it, read it, study it, memorize it. That's why the Bravo Company were challenging you to memorize scriptures. You know, this passage from John, that you did not choose me, but I chose you. That came to my mind because long time ago, when I was on staff at the Campus Crusade, we memorized these passages. In one sense, I kind of forgotten, in the sense that I couldn't remember exactly where in the Bible. But the Lord could use it. It was in my heart. And He just tapped into that and said, hey, here's the truth. Here's what I think about you. Here's the truth about you. Here's the truth about me. Here's the reality of life that you live in. and God pulls the scripture right out of your heart and then bring it to your memory. Now, for the last several years, I'm learning to hear God kind of directly, especially in my journal. There are a lot of conversations that I have with Jesus. But one of the problems that I have is often or sometimes I even doubt, did I really hear God? Did really God say these things? But when it comes to Scripture, just like this passage from John, there is no denying it. When I had a moment of insecurity and doubt and questioning, when Jesus said to me, no, I did not choose you. No, excuse me, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Straight out of Scripture, there's no denying. These are God's words. These are the voice of God to me. God speaks through the Word of God powerfully. And you can experience that as well. Now, if you are like me, thinking about reading the entire Bible in 1 year, by the way, I cheated. I started already. And so today I'm day 11, so I'm ahead. So I have a place to slack off or catch up, whatnot. But yeah, it takes effort, and I'm reading pretty fast. But one of the ways that you can really engage the Word is, even when you're just kind of zipping right through, something will stand out to you. Oh, by the way, anytime you want to engage the Bible, anytime you want to read the Bible, just like Randy did at the beginning of the service, ask the Lord. Invite the Lord into it. Otherwise, it's just a piece of literature. It's just pen and ink or screen, whatever you are using. But unless you invite Jesus into it, unless you say, Lord, would you illuminate? Would you be here? Would you cover this place by the blood of Christ so that my eyes of the heart be open to really hear your voice, to see you clearly? You need to start there. But if you have that attitude and engage Scripture, as you read the Bible, a word may stand out to you, or a whole passage. And then slow down. Just dwell on it. Think about it. In fact, back then, remember this Gospel of John passage, when I heard, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. The word appoint really stood out at that time. And so I went back, reread it, appoint. Huh. See, that's when it started to kind of germinate a lot of different thoughts about the fact that, yeah, this is something that God was very intentional about bringing me into new mission to Ethiopia. See, I'm not sharing with you anything that's necessarily professional. I'm a pastor. Yes, I've been a pastor, but my theological education has very little to do with what I experienced at that point. It's something that is available to all of us who simply gives their hearts fully to the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to us. I just meditate on that one word, appoint. And I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart, saying that, yeah, this is intentional. It is something that is beyond and more than just your work. It involves a lot of people. It involves my people in Ethiopia. It is my mission, God says. And that just interaction with God took place because I decided to stay on that one word, appoint. And that kind of interaction with God is possible with the Bible. After this first service, Steve Carrier, who's going to be interacting with you online throughout the year on scriptures, he said, Bible is the only piece of literature in all of human history that you can have direct interaction with its author. The Bible is the only piece of literature that through which you can interact with its author anytime. God wants to speak to our hearts through the Bible. Lectio Divina is often practiced among the Catholic people, but it's the same kind of idea of reading as with the attitude or posture of listening, and to meditate on the word or the sentence that comes to your mind. And then when you pray, you just ask the Lord, "Lord, what does this mean? Please speak to this." See, so what I'm sharing with you is not anything new. It's been around for literally hundreds, if not thousands of years, practiced by many believers. God speaks to us through Scripture. So one of the things that I want to do is to actually do it together. And so if you have the Bible, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. If not, it's all right. I'm going to put it on the screen. Now, when I put it on the screen, I'm going to put two versions. That's another way you can read through the Bible. You know, you may have your favorite King James or Revised King James or New King James or some sort of a King James version. But if you are stuck with one version, you may say, "Oh yeah, I read that. Oh, I know that." As if, "Oh, nothing really stands out to me." Well, if that's the case, just switch to a different version. You can go to a Christian bookstore or online free. You can find many different kinds of versions to choose from. And often I use the Message. Message is a kind of a paraphrased, and sometimes it looks so different and it kind of jars me and say, "No, the Bible doesn't say that." And then I go back to my old version and say, "Oh, okay, I suppose it could mean that." And all of a sudden, just like, you know, I'm really engaging this passage. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the Message version and the English Standard version, which is a little bit more kind of a formal looking version, and just to show a little bit of difference. This passage, the 24th chapter of Luke, is not that different. It's the story right after Jesus was raised from the dead. Two guys are walking on the road and Jesus comes up to them. And so here goes. I'm going to read this side, English Standard Version. That very day, so that's the day of Jesus' resurrection, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that happened, which is the missing body, after the crucifixion of Christ. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. Now, 2,000 years ago, this is not particularly unusual. They would travel on the road, on foot, and sometimes if you're by yourself, you want to join the company for safety. And if it's, you know, especially the same Jewish people traveling together, for even stranger to join your company, that wasn't particularly unusual. So that's what happened there. Now, here it says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Now let's stop here. Well, first of all, I thought it was really interesting that Jesus said, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" Imagine this is the resurrected Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity. the one who just conquered death and Satan and evil, who triumphed over all things. Couldn't he have had a little bit more dramatic entrance? Like in the book of Acts when he met Paul? The bright light, blinding presence, voice from heaven? No, he just kind of sneaks up on these two guys. So I heard about a month ago, right here at an adventure, youth ministry had a retreat. And during the one of the evenings, the youth leaders planned this game where the students had to be in groups, and each group had to look for student leaders like a BJ or Seth or Beth. And so this group was, you know, going around kind of half dark, campground looking for BJ. And then BJ puts hood up on the sweatshirt and then snuck up on one of the teams, the student teams, and start following them. And they're talking about, you know, where BJ was, and it was so hilarious because then two teams came together and they say, yeah, I know, I think I saw BJ over there last time, you know, about 20 minutes ago. And then BJ was behind, you know, just like, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah. And then finally, somebody kind of noticed, you know, that BJ was there. And this, okay, so that's BJ, youth pastor, right? With the high school kids. But this is Jesus. What does that say about the character of God? Nature of Jesus. Yeah? Or he was just playful. Great sense of humor. Isn't that amazing? Now, here it says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Are you in that place this morning? On your journey to somewhere in life? You're talking about life's events. And Jesus is walking with you. But somehow, the eyes of your heart are kept from recognizing him. But anyway, so he says, what is this? What are you talking about? Kind of feigned ignorance. I thought that was really interesting. And then Jesus says, oh, what things? Really? I mean, as a conversation opener, okay, what are you guys talking about? Oh, yeah, the crucifixion, Jesus of Nazareth. We thought he was the Messiah. He was going to be here to change and liberate the nation of Israel. So anyway, this is how I interacted with the scripture, talking with God, was at this point I said, Lord, why did you do that? That was a question I raised to him as I was reading this passage. Jesus, why did you do this? Why did you play ignorant and ask these two men the very question about you? And I kept reading because I didn't hear anything. And so, here. So then they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. So these two men were very well aware of the events that took place. Even they recognized that it's the third day. And then it says, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. Now, I like the messages version of it. It says, now some of our women have completely confused us. Isn't that more like, yeah? What are you talking about? The body is missing. It just doesn't walk away. Right? And then they did not find the body. And the women came back saying that they even had seen a vision of an angel who said that Jesus was alive. Don't you hate that when people, or when you tell them what you experienced and, you know, the really true, that they say, I'll go check it myself. That's exactly what these guys did. Some of those were with us, went to the tomb. That was Peter and John. And, okay, just found it as it was, told to them by these women. Now, at this point, then Jesus says, oh, foolish ones. Again, I love the Message translation. Knucklehead, thick-headed. Really? Jesus said that? Maybe. Maybe. He's so real, isn't it? He's so real. He's down to earth. I mean, I love it when Randy talks about we're not dealing with the religious Jesus that somehow we created. In scriptures, you find real Jesus, who was real man and who was real God. And it says, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them, you know, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, okay, ladies and gentlemen, time to wake up. This is the most important thing about today's message. If nothing else, I want you to walk away with this in mind. First, I felt like when I came to this point, Lord answered my question of, Jesus, why did you not reveal yourself right away to these two men? And I felt like the Lord said, because I'm preparing these men for mission. This is their training. Why? He asked questions. These two men started to recite or retell the story of what happened, but without really understanding the significance of the events. Already, right after resurrection, Jesus' first task, where he went, was to start training his men to understand the significance of his death and the power of his resurrection. Right? And that's why here it says it was not necessary that the Christ should suffer. That refers to the cross. And then later enter into the glory. That refers to the resurrection and ascension. Right here, Jesus, in a short period of walking with these two men, he teaches them what their mission is by telling them the significance of his cross and his resurrection. See that? And he does it using the Bible. When it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, whenever in the Jewish culture back then, when they said law and prophets, or the Moses and prophets, they're simply referring to the Old Testament as we know it today. So simply Jesus said, hey, look, let me show you through Scripture. Because, as it says, Scripture refers to Jesus. So this year, we're going to be reading the entire Bible. Some of us are really gung-ho about it. My family is, so we started early. But the real goal, the highest goal of reading an entire book is not the fact that you read the whole thing, that you went through once or twice, but how much, as a result of that, you know Jesus better. How much more will you be in love with Him because of your understanding, your knowledge, your experience of Him through Scripture? That's the goal. That's the goal. Because Scriptures point to Jesus. If you miss Jesus in reading the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, we've missed it all. So that's the goal. And then, so the next day drew near to the village to which they were going, and then Jesus acted as if He were going further. And again, that kind of confused me. So again, in my reading, I simply asked the Lord a question. Lord, why did you do that? Why did you just, you know, pretend like you're going to just keep going? Maybe He would have gone. But why? But they urged Him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." And so He went in to stay with them. And when I was reading with that question in mind, I felt like the Lord said, "Because I want you to want me. I want you to want me." And I said, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. How serious are we? How far are we willing to go to pursue Him? Yeah, He's going to be there always. But He wants us to want Him. And then He went in at the table. He took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And at that point, finally, the eyes of these two guys were opened and recognized Jesus. And He disappeared. So then they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scriptures?" I think that's what's going to happen. The more you start to engage Scriptures, give yourself enough time. It took me some time to get to this place, the place of actually having a fire in my heart as I was reading the Scriptures. But if you practice it, if you stay with it, initially it may feel just a regimen, you know, just going through the motion. But it will come a time where reading Scripture, you'll begin to hear God's voice in such a way that, like these two guys, didn't you feel that fire in our hearts when Jesus was opening Scriptures and opening the eyes of our hearts to understand the magnificence and the power goodness of the Father and the comprehensiveness of His plan and the depth of His love and the power of His death and resurrection. Oh yes, how far we have fallen as a result of our sin because we failed to trust Jesus. Even though God was absolutely perfect, gave us everything, we said, "No, thank you. I think I can do a better job of taking care of my life." How far have we fallen? And how far back He is now restoring us, not only to our original glorious place, but He has united us with Jesus Christ and raised us up far above all else, that we're considered only little lower than the God Himself. Given the divine nature to be the sons and daughters of the living God, to be able to call the Creator our Father, the Father that Father should be. And those things are all found in Scripture that Jesus, God, would like to speak to our hearts to free us, to enable us to live the life that we're meant to live. So, we start New Year with the Scriptures. And I really love the first one that we're supposed to memorize. And you know what? Even if you're not bravo, memorize the first one. It's worth it. It's really worth it. And here's why. It says, oh, this is the wrong side. you know, can plunder be taken from warriors, or captives rescued from the fierce? Are you in this place? I'm too old. I'm too stupid. I've made too many mistakes. I haven't done anything. It's too late. Do you feel like that about life? About being with God? Following Him? Hearing His voice? Even just memorizing scriptures? 50 of them in a year? If you do, you're not alone. If you do, this scripture, this passage is speaking to you. Here it says, the plunder be taken, rescued from the warriors. You feel like you're captive under some strong power. There's nothing I can do to change it, is how we feel. And to that, scripture says, yes. The Lord God Almighty says, yes, captives will be taken from warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce, because I, the Lord God Almighty, will contend for you. He's the one who will give you freedom. He's the one who will set you up on the high places to renew your strength like the eagles. He's the one who will deliver you. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. You're called to mission. Your freedom is your right. Hopefully this year, through scriptures, let us claim that new freedom so we can join God's mission. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word, for your truth that sets us free. I desire more of you through the word. Please help us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Awesome. One of the things that I neglected to mention that Jonathan brought up during his message was for our Bible read-through, we have asked Steve Carrier, who's been a pastor and just a long-time student of God's Word and theology, we've asked him to be our Bible read-through chancellor. And so what he's going to do is as he reads through the chronological read-through, he's going to blog about it on our website. And so each week he's going to enter in something that maybe it's a passage that in the week's read-through that's difficult. Like when you read Job 1 and 2, you know, and you see Satan comes to God and God goes, what about Job? Is that God sicking Satan on Job? And how do you deal with that? You know, so there's some tough places in Scripture that you look at that and you kind of scratch your head. The most important and best thing you can ever do when you get to one of those passages is exactly what Jonathan said. Jesus, what is this about? I don't get it. And listen and journal. That has saved me bad conclusions about God again and again. Particularly about Job. I'll tell you sometime what he said about Job. Steve's going to be blogging, and so that would be a great way for you to, if you want to, just go on our website and during your week's reading, just take a look at what Steve throws up there for the for that week's readings. And also, we're going to try to support you through your memorization and your read-through we have the verses in verse packs back on the soundboard, and we have the chronological read-through hard copies on the soundboard. Only take them if you're like, I'm not an internet person, because I only made like 20 copies each. If you're an internet person, just go on, download it, print it. But we're also going to try to do, in the next few weeks, laminated copies of like the first page. The verse pack's 3 pages. We're going to do a front and back, so you'll have the first 2 pages laminated. You can get that here. You can stick it up in your shower. It's a great place. That's BJ's trick for memorization. He has it in his shower. And so he works on it, and that's his memorization time. Doesn't work really great if you wear glasses, but the rest of you can do well with that. So we're just going to try to support you every way we can to memorize and work through it. Again, make sure you sign up today for Alpha or Bravo on our website and get started on your reading. Great thing to do as a family. And I just want to pray for our offering and then let you go. Jesus, thank you so much for providing us the food of your word. Lord, thank you for Jonathan's stories and Lord, just the ways you've spoken to him about that passage and about your conversation with those guys. And Lord, thank you that you want to speak to us and you want to illuminate your word to us through your spirit. And Lord, we just need to ask. And thank you for how real and real time that is. And Jesus, we pray that you would bless this year in your word, and Lord, that you would teach us great things about you, insights that we've never had, even if we've read through it many, many times. Lord, would you bring new treasures, Lord Jesus, that we can go with our old ones. And Lord, we want to just bless you and love you by worshiping you through giving. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd use these gifts and tithes for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week.